Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 21, powered by Kappen and brought to you by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrecht, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, and we have a little radio show called the West Texas Catholic, the audio version as well. Today, the topic is adoration. We'll join our guest here in just a couple of minutes. We'll also get you up to date with all kinds of diocesan news as well. But first, if you'll assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray a prayer for religious liberty, something we should never, ever stray from in our church, world, or society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of information, not necessarily the opinions of Kappen, the Diocese of Amarillo, or the Office of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. Hey folks, we got harvesters in the field. The harvest is being brought in by our great farmers and ranchers here in the Diocese of Amarillo. Give those slow-moving vehicles some extra room on the highways and byways here in the Panhandle, and continue to pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. Yeah, we're getting some rains here and there. Nothing wrong with that, because God in his time does everything good. So please, pray for favorable weather. This is the best yields yet for our farmers until next year. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, and the disturbed. Also continue to pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And please pray for our three fantastic seminarians, Deacon Mauricio Valadez, Richard Escalante, and Benjamin Siegel. You can find out so much more about vocations by going to our website, amarillovocations.org, amarillovocations.org. And also please pray for the eight men and their families who are discerning a vocation to the permanent diaconate. By the grace of God, they will be ordained to the diaconate on a Mass on Saturday, December 6th at 10 a.m. at St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington here in Amarillo. Look for more about that in the November issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all that you do for us. Your efforts do not go unappreciated on this program. And finally, a reminder, there is a ton of fundraisers going on. I think we're going to be fundraiser heavy till about the middle of December or so. So if there's a fundraiser going on in your parish, at your Catholic school, or for your group or organization, please go out and support those folks. They really do appreciate your help. Adoration is our topic of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 21. And joining us to my left is Simon Wright, the Adoration Coordinator at St. Thomas the Apostle Church here in Amarillo. And to his left is Jeff Gray, the Assistant Adoration Coordinator at St. Thomas the Apostle Church. And I'll start with you, Simon, because you are a proud alum of Alamo Catholic High School.
Absolutely.
Not to make you sound old, when did you get your eviction notice from Alamo Catholic,
sir? 1977.
77. So you're approaching the 50-year reunion.
Yep.
I hope you guys have a big one here.
Well, so. I don't see many people, but I know they had a good one this year.
Well, good. I know they did, too, for the class of 75.
Yeah.
Jeff, you knew this guy from growing up.
Do
you really want to disclose that story, or is that one to save for the book?
No, I think it's a great story. He is 8 years older than me, and we played basketball a little bit there at Alamo, and he would play with us and kind of coach us. But what the most interesting part is I was an altar boy for his wedding, and that's a great memory that we share. He shows me a picture of it every once in a while, and I'm a little envious of that body that I had back then, to be honest with you.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all at that age when we get there? Simon, I'll start with you. You've been the Adoration Coordinator at St. Thomas the Apostle Church, I guess, since the beginning, right? 20 years ago?
No. Okay. No. So Monsignor Tash tapped Helen Sage at the time to start that program. During around that time in the early 2000s, Pope John Paul was really advocating and pushing for adoration programs in parishes, which wasn't all that common. And so he asked Helen Sage to organize it and get it going. And very quickly, Helen built the program, and it reached a perpetual adoration status within a year. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to maintain that ever since. I think that we are the only perpetual adoration ministry between Dallas and Denver. I've been told that many times.
And I don't think you're wrong about that either. And I know it's the only one perpetual 24/7, 365 or 6 here in the Diocese of Amarillo, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And I know during my time, we've seen, unfortunately, adoration programs stop at other parishes here in town. It's a difficulty for the parishes to find the, you know, the volunteers that's needed to keep it going. And if you're going to do it right, people need to be, you know, dedicated to it. And we don't want to be in a situation where, as Father Scott Rafe calls it, peekaboo Jesus mode, where people just repose and or expose the Blessed Sacrament at their convenience. So for us, and we're very fortunate at St. Thomas, our program, people have been very dedicated to it. And so we are 24/7, and there's someone at our chapel all the time. And if you go there during the daytime, there's, I don't know, tons of people there. Again, it's been a blessing to each individual, to the parish, to the diocese, and it's just something that, given our world today, we just got to keep going.
Amen to that. When did you start in the perpetual adoration program?
Well, so Helen was needing to go to Australia, and so she needed someone to help her out in her absence. And I don't know how that happened, but we were talking in the bell tower, and there was just a transfer of some sort that happened, the divine transfer, I guess. And I ended up as the coordinator and haven't looked back since. And it's been a blessing for me to be a part of that. And that's actually when I really discovered adoration. I'm ashamed to say that, you know, as an adult, I never experienced it, really didn't even know much about it. So since then, I've obviously got to become more involved, and, you know, I'm there weekly, and I have just reaped all sorts of benefits in my personal life because of my devotion to it. And I know Jeff's the same way.
Absolutely.
How long have you been involved with perpetual adoration, Jeff?
Oh, I started getting into adoration probably 30 years ago, but probably in the last 15 or so for perpetual is what I'd say.
I'll ask you the question first, and I'll ask him, Simon, the follow-up. What's been the best thing that's come out of being a perpetual adorer all these last 15 years for you?
Well, I would say there's two things. The first thing I would say is in John chapter 1, we understand that the Word was made flesh and became man. And so the first thing that I would say is Scripture, the words literally lift off the page for me in front of the Eucharist. And then the second thing is, and I talked to Simon about this a little bit, I went to a retreat in Dallas several years ago, and I'll never forget the priest. I know him very well. His name's Father Santon Pinto. He's a Jesuit. But he told me, he said, when you adore the Eucharist, the fruit of that adoration is charity, but in particular, agape, you know, the sacrificial love. And when we receive an abundance of agape, that's when we can imitate the life of Jesus Christ.
Mm. What have you reaped in all these years of perpetual adoration, Simon Wright?
I think peace, just the absolute assurance that I'm taken care of and loved. You know, and I just get that and feel that when I'm, particularly in the early morning hours, when I'm in that just total silence, it's just me and the Lord. And it's just something that has overwhelmed me. And I wished I'd have gotten into it much, much earlier. You know, we're growing at St. Thomas. We see a lot of young people. And when I see all these young fathers, I think to myself, boy, sitting in your pew is why you need to be at adoration.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. By the way, I still want to know what the date of the official transfer was so we could celebrate that as a minor feast day at St. Thomas, okay? So when you and Helen figure out that date,
yeah,
we can have a minor feast day celebration. Oh. Yeah, right. Simon Wright and Jeff Gray joining us on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast episode 21, powered by Cap'n, brought to you by the Diocese of Amarillo. Simon is the adoration coordinator at St. Thomas the Apostle Church, and Jeff serves as the assistant adoration coordinator at St. Thomas. the biggest thing that we need right now are people. And we need people, especially what, late night and early morning hours. Let's talk about that for just a second. Here's your chance to make your appeal, so to speak.
Right. So, you know, we're wanting to strengthen the ministry. And it's been strong. It's going strong and for 20-plus years. But we want to add more people to the overall ministry so it will go another 20 years. And for what challenges, for few challenges, I really, if you want to get technical about it, that we've had is, you know, late nights, early mornings. We would just like to bring enough and more people into the program to where it just takes care of itself. We have, I think, about 7 early morning hours that need to be filled. We have about 70 to 80 substitutes who help cover hours that our regular door for that reason, for some whatever reason, can't cover that week. Mm-hmm. And so what we average probably about 100 sub requests a month, which is a high number.
That is very high.
But we are an automated system, and it just works so well and so smoothly. Normally speaking, unless it's a late night or an early morning, a person will put in a sub request, and it's usually picked up within 5 minutes.
Wow.
So it pretty much runs by itself. It's, again, the late nights is our issue, and we know that there are people out there who won't prefer those hours, those late night, early morning hours. So we'd like to extend an invitation to anybody who would be available and willing to do that, and we're willing to work out any sort of arrangement that works for you. Normally, our doors commit to 1 hour a week, but if you're someone that says, hey, I can only commit to, I don't care if it's 1 hour a month, mm-hmm. we'll make it work, because it's more important that you get in there for you than for us.
Jeff, same question. The need for adores. Why should people consider this ministry?
Well, I guess the first thing that I would agree with Simon is it's very hard to articulate or explain the peace and joy that comes in front of the Eucharist like this. And as we live our life through anxiety and turmoil and temptations, this emotional neutrality, I guess, if you will, from this peace and joy is, if I could bottle this up and just give it to people to test it or sample it, I think they would be in there. And so that would be my answer for you, Chris.
I've asked people, what are we supposed to do during adoration? Oh. There's really no set rules to what we can do except maintain quiet, stay off your phone, and spend time in prayer and silence. Well, elaborate.
Yes, I think there's a lot of options for us, in particular if you view the Eucharist and Jesus Christ as your friend. For example, if you're a student, I would encourage you to bring your homework or study in front of the King of the universe. If you're a teacher, what more of a beautiful prayer would it be for a teacher to bring the paperwork and grade over their students and request intentions for their students? I don't like to separate my job from my spiritual life. We're connected, right? So mm-hmm. whatever you do, if you're a master plumber, you take your intentions into the front of the Eucharist. And I think that's a beautiful prayer, especially in terms of being Jesus Christ's friend.
Simon, same question.
Well, you know, kind of leads me into, I believe, is it 60% of Catholic adults do not believe in the real presence?
I've heard up to 70, but
mm-hmm. okay. I've heard 64% if you want to get precise.
But okay. Yeah.
It's way too many, put it that way. It is.
Yes. And when I hear that, I come to understand why there isn't the sort of interest in adoration that there ought to be. Because if you are sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and you truly know you're in front of the Lord, it changes everything. I mean, you're sitting in front of history. You're sitting in front of the man who suffered the passion. And it just has a completely different effect on you. You just understand just how blessed you are. And I just can't adequately describe it, but that's... I'm not even sure I've answered your question in whole.
For the most part, but, you have. For the most part, you have.
You know, I just think that once you come to realization, and your personal relationship with Christ is the most important thing, and I just wonder, for those 60% of people who don't believe, don't understand. The day they die and they see the Lord, is that the first time they met him?
And if it is, that's a sad thing, isn't it?
I'd say don't take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I agree with you on that. Let's go back to Jeff for just a minute. You wanted to elaborate further on, I said 64, you say 60 or 70% of people who do not believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. I'll let you share a few points about that, please.
Yeah. So I did struggle with that early as a young man, and I'll share with you what cemented my faith, if you will, the mortar to the bricks of the wall of my faith with the Eucharist. I think what I was focusing on was the life and death of Jesus Christ. But the real power of the Eucharist comes from the resurrected Christ, okay? And so we have 12 to 13 appearances in Scripture where Jesus has appeared to people post-resurrection. And the first one is obviously Mary Magdalene, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if we focus on that, what we see here is that Jesus Christ transcends space and time because now we're talking about the resurrected body. And then one of the most important ones is, which I don't think is a coincidence, which I think is providence, St. Thomas, the very apostle that struggled the most with the post-resurrected Christ, right? The faith in the post-resurrected Christ is the one that if you're struggling with the Eucharist and believing in it. And it is a big step, right? Let's be honest. So if you're struggling with that, I would encourage you to request some prayers or intercession from St. Thomas and then focus on the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, especially in Acts. You'll see the power of the resurrection. And that's really where we draw our power from is the resurrected Christ. And I just wanted to address that. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
You betcha. When you sent me some information about this, about adoration, and we published this in the last issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, I want to share this with you folks. Adoration is a sign of devotion and worship of Jesus Christ, who is present in body, blood, soul, and divinity under the appearance of the sacramental bread. Adoration is a sign of devotion. It offers many spiritual benefits. It gives us a chance to be still and listen to God. In the quiet, we can hear his voice better. Our Eucharistic Lord Jesus is available all the time, day and night, for anyone to come to him, to praise him, to pour out one's heart to him, to ask for inspiration, to be consoled and comforted in afflictions, to express sorrow for sin, to ask favors, to ask guidance, to get encouragement, to receive strength, to give thanks, and to be healed of spiritual and physical infirmities. Folks, if you have never thought about doing this, this is the perfect time to start thinking about doing this and committing to perpetual adoration at St. Thomas the Apostle Church. They have adoration at St. Thomas the Apostle Church 24/7, 365 or 6, minus a couple of days during the Triduum, right?
That's it. Those are the only times that we plan to be closed.
And they're closed, and they say they're cleaning, but that chapel is one of the cleanest places you will ever walk into. So I think the cleaning part, must be a Brian Webb term. We'll just let that for Brian Webb.
Well, just so your listeners also know that we're very proactive about weather. And so as we're coming back into the winter season, if we see a forecast that's expecting snow or ice, we're going to close our chapel. And because we do have a software system that allows us to communicate immediately to everybody, we will close. And so we want for people who are considering taking this commitment to know that you're not going to be asked to do things that you're uncomfortable doing.
Now, I will say back on March 14th, when we had those 91-mile-an-hour wind gusts and part of Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico landed in the Great Texas Panhandle, we were still open. I know we had a lot of people that canceled because they didn't want to get out in the wind. Completely understandable.
When, you know what? Wind has been a new kind of situation. It's usually ice or snow, but I remember getting that voice call from you.
Mm-hmm. I said, I'll be there.
Yeah, and you were there. Actually, you were dealing with a flood, flooding.
There was one night we had a flood when I was doing 10 to 11 on Thursday nights, and I had to call Judy, and luckily I've known Judy all my life because she's a fellow Nazarene.
Yeah,
and I just called her, and I'm going, you know, you shouldn't be calling. She's in the middle of adoration, but, you know, you're on Bell Street, and we don't have a big enough pontoon to get down Bell Street going north on this thing.
Yeah.
And I called her and said, there's no way I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
there's just no way. And she wound up covering the hour. And I made up for her by covering her Thanksgiving night so she could have family and friends time, which is a good trade-off.
Right. And we, you know, we all understand that. We take care of each other. We never leave the Blessed Sacrament. We just do not leave it unattended. And so if we know that our replacement hour is not here and they can't make it, we stay.
You know something? In the midst of all this, we forgot the most important thing. How to get a hold of these two gentlemen. Simon, your telephone number, please.
I can be reached at area code 806-570-9776.
Jeff, your phone number, please.
806-316-0683.
It's the best hour you'll have in the entire week that you have, and it's the best time spent on earth in adoration. And you each get the last statement of this conversation. Simon, we'll start with the elder first, so to speak, okay?
Well, again, we invite anyone who's interested in becoming involved in the ministry. You basically have two options or opportunities to participate. You can either take one of the open hours, or you can volunteer to be a substitute. And to be a substitute, the way this works is every one of our hourly adorers weekly gets a reminder message, a text message, and it offers them the ability to request a substitute. And they just press on that link, and it just happens under the cover. And so a text message then goes out to all of our 70 to 80 substitutes. And if you see it, it identifies the day and the time. And if it's something you can do, you just accept it. And it's that simple. And then the other option that you have, we call it our public hours. And those are the hours that our offices are open between 8:30 and 4:30. If you just go through the office doors, you can go to adoration without a door code. That's pretty much it.
And you're right about the number of people that show up for people's adoration hours. I have Friday afternoon from 1 to 2, and there are days I feel like we're having a party in there because there's 8 or 9, 10 people in there sometimes.
Right. And for me, I love the silence. So I don't know that the daytime is always silent because there's a lot happening in the hallways and things. So, but... No, I think most people are totally at peace, and everyone I talk to that has an hour loves it.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, last word's yours, sir.
My last word would be this. If you haven't gone to adoration before, come and taste the goodness of the Lord. And here's how I would start. Bring nothing except yourself. Sit and rest in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, just rest in your Lord.
Amen. Let's take care of some diocesan news before we get out of here. And the first thing we want to remind you about is Spiritual Arms, 5 minutes for the battle here on Capinet. It's a new episode on every Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Kick off your work week the right way with 5 minutes of faith hosted by the great Joshua Correa of St. Mary's Cathedral here in Amarillo. Go online to stcapn.com, stcapn.com for all the details. In case you missed it, Holy Cross Catholic Academy canceling their golf tournament. The third annual Holy Cross Catholic Academy golf tournament was supposed to take place Thursday, October 23rd. It has been canceled for this year. It's expected to be rescheduled. We'll let you know when that new date is, more than likely in 2026. Do want to remind you again, you heard Simon and Jeff talk about it aplenty just moments ago, but St. Thomas the Apostle Church really does need people to participate in the parish's perpetual adoration program. If you need to know more, want to sign up, get in touch with Simon Wright, 806-570-9776. Volunteers needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. Doesn't take a lot of commitment time, and you will get trained. Need to know more? Elma Fletcher has all the details. 806-206-4496. Diocesan Youth Office offering a No Love Serve thematic retreat Saturday, October 25th, starts at 9:30 a.m. in the Parish Hall at Immaculate Conception Church at 1000 Southwest 15th Avenue in Perryton. This retreat for students in grades 7 through 12 being offered to all youth in the Diocese of Amarillo. It's $45 per person. Need to know more? Oscar Guzman has all the details. 806-383-2243, extension 118. Six courses on the moral life will be offered in the next several weeks, according to school sister of Notre Dame, Sister Maria Elena Farrar, our diocesan coordinator of faith formation. The moral life, part of a series of courses in the faith formation basic course. It's offered from 9 a.m. until noon. Two of those courses are going to be offered Saturday, October 25th, in both English and Spanish, in the North Deanery at St. Peter and Paul Church at 915 South Maddox in Dumas. Sister Maria Elena will offer the course in English. Fatima Zanetti, the Director of Religious Education at St. Hyacinth's Church Amarillo, presenting the course in Spanish. An enchilada dinner to benefit the Building Fund at St. Mary's Church Clarendon, Sunday, October 26th, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Parish Hall at 815 South Montgomery. $15 plates for adults. Kids 6 to 12 get in for $7 each. Kids under 5 eat free. It's all you can eat, dine in, and or carry out. And while you're there, ask about their great specials on tamales, or you can call the Parish Office at St. Mary's Church, 806-874-3910. Tickets still available for the 22nd Fall Back Festival to benefit St. Anne's Church in Canyon. That's Saturday, November 1st, 6:30 p.m. till 11:30 p.m. in the Parish Hall at 605 38th Street. Theme of this year's festival, Day of the Dead. Tickets, $150 donation per couple, gets you a steak dinner for two with all the trimmings. Dancing to live music from Next of Kin, live and silent auctions, a donation bar, and a chance to win various prizes in a reverse raffle. Call the parish office for all the details. Ask for Amber, 806-655-3302. And finally, put this on your calendar, folks. The Diocese of Amarillo will celebrate its centennial with a massive Thanksgiving that morning, 10 o'clock, St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. Look for additional information very soon in all available media, and we define that as the podcast, the radio show, the website, the diocesan newspaper, Facebook, parish bulletins, Flock Note, and any other thing that David Wilson can get his hands on that will effectively communicate, you know, we're not going to say no to that. But be looking for more information, and please join us for our celebration. That does it for another edition of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 21, powered by CAP and brought to you by the Diocese of Amarillo. Have questions, comments, suggestions? Well, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address, stcapn@dioama.org. This time a little slower, stcapn@dioama.org. And while you're at it, please answer our survey at stcapn.com. I finally got that right after all this time, didn't I? Only took 9.5 months. Thank you for watching, and we thank you for listening and supporting us. May God richly bless you, and remember, abortion is not and never will be health care. Viva Cristo Rey.